there is just a slight change in your bulletin. I am going to read more of the chapter of John than what you have listed in your bulletin this morning, just to give you a better picture of kind of the story that we're talking about this morning. So we're going to jump right into the scripture first thing this morning, and I am going to start with John chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 1 instead of 11. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief or a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they do not know his voice. Those who heard Jesus with this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them this way. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate, for those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money, and he doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know my Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so that I may take it back up again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down and when I want to, and I also have the authority to take it up again, for this is what my Father has commanded. So we're going to be learning a little bit about sheep today. How many of you, show of hands, know anything about sheep? Anybody? Okay, well, yeah, I would expect Marilyn. Being on a farm. So we're going to learn a little bit about sheep today. Was there anything that you picked up in this scripture about sheep? Anybody? Anybody hear anything? Did you hear something about sheep in this scripture? They follow the shepherd? Yeah, anybody else? Well, you know, I think sheep get a bad rap, really. And we're going to find out today why they get a bad rap. So I'm going to share a few things that I've picked up about this. And yes, the main thing is that we hear in the scripture today is the sheep follow the shepherd, right? So sheep are a flock animal. They live in a herd, okay, or flock, I should say. They're safer in numbers. It's less easy if they're all together for somebody to pick off the whole herd. If they're all together in a group, right? So they flock together, but if a sheep should stray, they tend to get into trouble. They get stuck in places they shouldn't be. They go through fences. They get into trouble. And so when they're on their own, they tend to do things that, you know, we shouldn't do, right? So you think that's kind of like us in our life, that, you know, if God created us to be in community with one another, and if we're in that community, we have people that hold us accountable that tend to kind of help us, hey, you know, you might not want to make that decision. That might get you into trouble. Now, we may still do it anyway because, you know, we are human, but most of the time, you're going to listen to that reasoning voice and go, eh, I don't think I might do that, but if you're on your own and you make that decision to do whatever it is that's going to get you in trouble or drift you away from your group, your community, your flock of people, maybe to alienate yourself, we tend to get into trouble, right? We on our own, God has told us, you're going to get in trouble if you're by yourself. So we, like sheep, need a community. We need a flock to be with, to live in harmony with God, to help us hold us accountable. So we stay out of trouble and stay accountable with our community. Secondly, sheep have great hearing, because we heard in our scripture, they hear only their shepherd's voice. So they only follow the one shepherd, and they only respond to that shepherd's voice. So to me, that makes them not so unintelligent, because, you know, we have a lot of animals that are pretty stubborn out there. I know, you know, mules get a bad rap for that. But, you know, we have a lot of animals that are stubborn. They dig in their heels. They don't listen to their owner, right? The sheep, they always follow the shepherd, and they only follow their shepherd. Now, when these sheep are grazing in their big flocks, lots of times in other countries and maybe here in the States, they graze on community property. So they're all grazing in a field, but if that one shepherd comes and he says, whatever the shepherds say, you know, hey, flock A, I'm over here, all of his sheep are going to come running to him, and all the other sheep are going to stay out in the field. They're not even going to listen to that shepherd's voice. So they follow one shepherd. They don't listen to all the noises around them. They can have lots of distractions, but they hear their shepherd, they're going to follow. So how does that apply to us today? You think maybe that we have a lot of distractions in our life, a lot of noise going on around us in the world today, that background chatter that goes on. Anytime you go into, say, a big gathering place and you hear everybody having all these different conversations going on, and you're like, man, it's hard to hear yourself sometimes, right? Well, our shepherd, Jesus, wants us to listen to one voice and one voice only, and that's his. So now we have to figure out, how do we listen to that one voice amongst all the chatter and all of that background noise? We need to be able to pick his voice out and listen for his voice only to guide us in our life. Lastly, in our scripture, we show that sheep are natural followers. So they follow the shepherd who leads from the front. You don't see a shepherd in the back pushing the sheep along. He's out front looking for danger. He is leading his flock. So he's looking for the wolves. He's looking for maybe creeks and ravines and things that might hurt his flock, so that he's guiding them from the front, always looking for those dangers that are going to be ahead. But he has only, you know, we have that one true voice. The sheep are listening. They're now following him with that. So if we think about that in our context, if we are to be natural followers, kind of like sheep, so we're trying to listen for his one true voice in our chaotic world, Jesus asks us to follow him. Now, some of us are born leaders. We may have a job or a career that has us leading other people in a task or a job, and that is perfectly okay. But what God wants us to do is, even when you are leading a group of people, you are still following Jesus. Jesus is our ultimate true leader, no matter what your job is, where you came from, what you do. Jesus asks us to follow him in faith. So he's not asking us not to be leaders. He's not asking us to sit back and just watch him do his thing. He's wanting us to follow him and follow his example. But he's asking us to follow. And so with that, when we talked about leading and we said maybe sheep might not be very unintelligent, we've heard that before. Some people, I'm not going to say they call them other unpleasant names, but we'll say unintelligent. I wasn't able to actually 100% confirm this particular piece that I read, but I thought it made sense to me as to why maybe sheep got a bad rap. So back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, you know, we had sheep and cattle farmers here in our country, and they fought over grazing ground. Cattle herders were predominantly the number one people in the country. they lead. Does anybody know where that you lead cattle from? Do you lead them from the front or the back? The back, right? So we herd them along. We're pushing them along the path that we want them to go. Well, these cattle farmers came and said, well, these sheep, they're dumb. They won't herd. They don't go where we tell them to go. They're very unintelligent. They're not smart. But when that shepherd gets out in front and leads them, those sheep happily follow that shepherd anywhere they go. They don't want to be pushed from behind. In fact, if you try to push a sheep from behind, they're going to dig their feet in and be like, no, ain't happening. Not going to move. They absolutely will dig their feet in and not go. But if you are their shepherd and you're in front of them, they will follow you literally to their death. You could lead them over a cliff. Not recommending that, but they would follow you if you were the shepherd to that end. So the cattle farmers, I really kind of think, because they were having that fight, were the ones that kind of dubbed sheep dumb and unintelligent. And really, we think about it, we're kind of like sheep. We follow Jesus, or we try to follow Jesus. We try to listen for his voice. Doesn't make them sound so dumb after all, right? You know, to me, they sound pretty intelligent. They've got it down. They want a leader. They want somebody to follow, even if they are stubborn. So as we're on our journey with Jesus, and we are following him, we're listening for his voice. You know, Jesus, our one shepherd, he was leading us. In fact, he led us so well that he sacrificed himself and died for us so that we could be free and have eternal life. How about you? But that's like the ultimate shepherd. He died for his flock so that he could come back again and still lead us, as he is doing today, from the front. He sent his Holy Spirit to us. He's guiding us every day, asking us to follow him. Even in our chaotic lives, we've got lots going on, and we're here and there. Busyness tends to catch up with us, and Jesus is like, hey, I'm over here. Come follow me. We've got to pay attention in our lives when we're super busy, that even in those times, Jesus is still trying to tell us something. He's still asking us to take time to follow him and find him. And if you think, maybe if we look at the Bible, like, you know, about the time Jesus was crucified, if his disciples were his followers, his sheep in his flock, look at all that emotional anxiety and strain that happened when Jesus died. The disciples were beside themselves. They were up in arms. They had no idea what to do. They were hiding in a room going, well, what do we do? Jesus isn't here anymore. Can you imagine if Jesus didn't actually come back, what would have happened to those followers? I mean, I don't want to think about it, because then it means we wouldn't have Jesus today, right? But if we are kind of like the flock, I imagine they probably would have gone all different directions, right? They would have been completely lost. But Jesus didn't leave him hanging. He came back. And when he did, they were like, Jesus, you know, oh my gosh, you're here, right? They flocked to him. And he led them, which is why Jesus says, I am the one shepherd. Jesus welcomes all into his fold. So here's a picture of what an actual, and I know it's kind of small and hard to see, what an actual sheep pen looks like, just to give you guys an idea of, in our scripture, when we talk about what a sheep pen looks like. So this may have been an inn in the Middle East, so they have different places along the road where shepherds could stop for the night. All the shepherds would put their sheep into one pen, and there'd be one shepherd that would stay at the gate. So all the sheep are in there. You may have three or four flocks, depending on how big the pen is. It's rock wall, right? So sheep can't get out. We hope nothing could get in, but you know, like Jesus said, people that go over the wall, that don't go through that shepherd at the gate, are only there to steal, kill, and destroy, right? They're after bad things. But the shepherd at the gate, he's the one that allows people to enter, sheep to come and go. So a shepherd would get up in the morning, he would come to this gate, he would call his flock. Only those sheep would come to him, and out the gate they would go out to pasture. So that just gives you kind of a picture of what we're looking at in our text today. So when we're talking about sheep, I think sometimes we as, and I'm going to say as Westerners, I'm not stereotyping anybody here, but our Western way of thinking makes us think that maybe we have fields of green pastures here, right? We have these beautiful green pastures where our sheep and our cattle graze. We have flowing streams. We have shade most of the time in these pastures where animals can stay cool, right? So when we think of sheep, I don't know about you, but this is what I first thought of when I heard sheep. Sometimes in Psalm 23, we think green pastures, right? Well, in Jesus' time in the Middle East, it was a little bit different than how we think. This is what the Middle East looks like. I don't see any green pastures there. They have a lot of rocks. And you know, the sheep, they find these little tiny tufts of grass. And they go from little tuft to little tuft all over this rocky landscape. And their source of water is not a bubbling, pretty, flowing stream. It's a little hole of muddy water. So the life there is a lot harsher than we picture it here. But you know, in that harsh environment, God still provides. God provides just enough. He provides the water. It might not be water we think is safe to drink, but he provides the water for the sheep and the shepherd. He provides the tufts of grass that those hardy sheep can survive on. It's a lot of hard work. And, you know, a shepherd's life is not easy because you're out in that deserty environment in the heat day after day dealing with your sheep. But God provides just enough for everybody to live and survive. Except it's a hard life, but he provides for them. Just, you know, God gives just enough for them and provides it. He provides, I wouldn't say for those shepherds, it's an abundant life. He's providing their needs. He's meeting them every day. They're not going hungry. They're not thirsty. They might not have wealth and riches, but they have enough. And in their life, that's their abundant life. He has provided for them every single day. Just like our friends that were wandering in the desert, God provided for them manna from heaven. And he didn't want them to be greedy and grab all this stuff and stock their fridges and their freezers full of a bunch of food that, let's face it, I don't know about you, but I have stuff in my freezer that's probably 3 years old that probably needs to be thrown away. You know, we live an abundant life here too as well. And sometimes I think we tend to take in more sometimes than we tend to give away, right? So we have a lot of possessions, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but if we want to live in God's abundant life, we need to kind of change our way of thinking of abundant. It doesn't mean we have lots of money, lots of belongings. Our abundant life is through Jesus. Jesus provides us with that food. He provided us with that roof over our head. Jesus is our abundant life. So when we look at John 10, 11 through 13, so Jesus is talking about, this is where he says, I am the good shepherd, and I will lay down my life for my sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him. He has no invested interest. He's being paid to watch them, right? Why would I stay? You're giving me my money. I don't own these sheep, right? So the wolf can attack them and scatter the flock, and the hired hand runs away because they're not his sheep. He has no vested interest in them. I think the wolves we see today that want to seek to hunt and kill and destroy, they come and they take our joy. They take our worst moments and they can make them even worse for us sometimes. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a circumstance in life that slips in. You know, maybe it's that whisper in your ear, hey, sorry, you need to go do this. I think that's really great. You know, the devil kind of sneaks in and puts those ideas in your head. Those things, they only are there to hurt us. They do damage to us. And when we listen to those ideas and we let those people into our life that are bad influences, that lead us down those paths to doing things that we're not supposed to be doing, whether it's drugs or stealing or hurting another human being. Jesus says, wait a minute, you're following and you're letting the wolf over the wall. The wolf is climbing over your wall. I'm standing at the gate. Remember, I'm here to protect you. Jesus is in that gate like that shepherd who is, Jesus is the shepherd, but in that gate saying nothing bad's going to get through me as long as you follow me. As long as you listen to what I am telling you, I'm not letting that wolf in through the gate. So don't let him come over the wall. Follow me and that wolf isn't going to come in. If you're listening to what I'm telling you, that wolf is not going to scale your wall. Is not going to come in and harm you or do damage to you or your family. Now, we're still going to have hard times. God didn't promise that life wasn't going to be difficult. We're going to have our struggles. But God's there. Jesus is there walking right alongside of us. So remember, the shepherd at the gate, he also promised to lead his sheep to green pasture. So he's going to let his sheep, he's going to let us come and go through that gate. And he's going to show us what an abundant life looks like. He's going to be like, here's the green pasture. I prepared it for you. Go be fruitful. Oh, and if you need something, come back to the sheep flock right here. We're here. Come back through the gate. Get refreshed. Get renewed. He's always there at that gate waiting for you to seek him out in those moments when you are having a tough time. He's always there. So is anybody in here, and I'm asking our retired pastors to not chime in for a minute, but does anybody here know maybe who Jesus was talking to in our I'm the Shepherd scripture today? Does he know? Does anybody know who might have been there that Jesus was talking to?
Nobody?
Okay, so I don't have my historians here. So obviously we know there were people there, right? Because Jesus was talking to a group of people. But ultimately, we had the Pharisees, the religious leaders were there because, you know, pretty much any time Jesus was talking, somebody was there from them kind of lurking around trying to hear what Jesus was really preaching. But he was also talking to the people. And the people of that time, you know, they had been conquered several times by different nations. So we had a lot of religions floating around in the country. We had a lot of gods being worshipped by people, not necessarily the Hebrews, but, you know, we had a lot of gods being worshipped by the people that they were living around. You know, some of those people, for example, might have been Demeter, Asclepius, Pan, who's the god of herds and life for animals. Asclepius is noticed for medicine back then. Of course, we've heard of Zeus, right? So you've got Roman and Greek gods that are all mixed in here that these people are worshiping. So many of these people have heard of God, and they're like, okay, yeah, we worship God, but we also worship these gods. Because, you know, if I'm having trouble with fertility, I'm going to pray to this god. If I need my crops prayed for and I need rain, I'm going to pray to this god. They didn't understand the whole idea of having one god. They knew who God was. They'd heard of him. Well, most of them have. But they didn't necessarily trust that there was only one God. So you hear it in the middle of that first part of the scripture where the people were kind of like, oh, we don't quite get your story, Jesus. We don't understand. And by the time Jesus is done, and the part of the scripture that we didn't read today is about half the people got it, and the other half were like, what is he talking about? He used sheep because that was the time that they were living in. You might not have been a sheep herder, but you knew about sheep because that was a livelihood for a lot of people back then. But Jesus also used it. They talked about sheep a lot in the Old Testament. So he was trying to bring the Hebrew text back to life in the New Testament by saying, okay, we talked about sheep and shepherds. In fact, if you go back, I believe it's in Ezekiel, you go back and look and they're talking about multiple herds of sheep and trying to bring them together under one shepherd. And, you know, we heard that that doesn't work, right? Because only one shepherd, one flock. So if a flock has not had an apprentice with that shepherd, growing with that flock and learning, if the shepherd dies, the sheep die too. There's nobody there that the sheep will listen to. They can't send in a substitute shepherd for a while. The sheep have learned that shepherd's voice. They won't follow anybody else. So unfortunately, the flock dies. So in real shepherding, you would have an apprentice with you, and that apprentice would apprentice somebody else later on, and somebody else, so it's a family business. But if you don't pick somebody to apprentice after you, your flock is pretty much done for. And they die. What Jesus is saying, you know, he said, I'm going to bring in more to my sheepfold. Jesus is saying, there's a bunch of sheep out there. There's a bunch of people out there that haven't heard about me yet. They're going to be coming in and joining me. So unlike regular sheep, we can share that good news with other people, and we can bring them into our community. We can bring them into Jesus' flock to follow him. So there's a great person, and I have to give him credit for this. His name is Marty Solomon. He's the co-host of a podcast called Bema Discipleship. So what he does in this podcast is he kind of shares what the Eastern view, Eastern way of life looks like from the biblical perspective. So kind of a Hebrew perspective. So he's sharing through his knowledge, through learning from rabbis and teachers of the Hebrew way, also the language. He is sharing that all the way, starting at the very beginning of Genesis, all the way through to Revelation. He talks about the Bible from a Hebrew perspective. So Marty Solomon had this really awesome story to tell. He shared it like this. This is story A. So it's the tale of two stories. We have story A, which we've called the good life. Story A starts when we're in school. We were taught, right, that we needed to get good grades while we're in school so that we can go to college. Well, why do we want to go to college or a trade school? Well, we want a great job, right? We want a good career. We want benefits. We want to have security in life, right? Doesn't sound like there's anything wrong with that. So we had been taught that if you work hard and you get good grades, you go to college, you can get this great job and have security because you have this good job with benefits, with good pay. So we'll show this here. So this is the good life. What the good life didn't tell us as we were living it is it caused a lot of anxiety, causes a lot of fear and worry because, I don't know about you, when I was in school and I was worrying about getting good grades, I worried about my GPA. You get to college and then you're worried about, well, I want this really good job, but in order to get that job, I need to have good grades, right? So Marty tells a story about this. He teaches college students. And he had a student that was in his class, we'll call her Samantha. She was getting ready to graduate college, had a great career opportunity. It was like her dream job that was offered to her, and she was so excited. She'd worked really hard, she'd gotten good grades, and she landed this amazing job. And her grandmother called her, and her grandmother said, Samantha, I need somebody to come live with me and help take care of me. Getting on in years, and I need some help. Samantha was close with her grandma. She visited her a lot and saw her and had a really good relationship with her. Now, at this point, remember I said Samantha had this amazing job. And so Marty was listening to her, and he said, well, what are you going to do, Samantha? Are you going to go live with your grandma, or are you going to take this job? And Samantha said, being a young girl who had gone through our good life, had been taught that, you know, that security and that good career is what we needed in life to give us that security. And she looked at Marty and she goes, well, if I go live with my grandma, what is that going to look like on my resume? Ouch. Ouch. That kind of brings to light what Marty had described, that some of the students that he sees in his classes, he said, it's amazing that we have taught our kids today and in the past that that is what life is. that if they work hard, that they can land that great job. And then look where we get security. But he said, think of all the worry and anxiety that was caused while trying to get to our end result, right? So our second story is called the abundant life. So we have love, justice, mercy that are added into those, right? So our abundant life is self-sacrificing. But what that gives us is freedom. We are connected. So what that means is you can still try to get good grades in school, but I'm not the one that's getting the good grades. God is helping me to work through school to get my good grades, right? I'm in college. I'm learning. I want to get that dream job. God is providing me the opportunity to work somewhere. Now, God's idea and our idea of the greatest opportunity might seem a little different. Times they might be at polar opposite ends. What we might think is good for us, God would be like, no, you don't want to go that route. I know I've learned that through my call that, you know, I've told you before, I never thought in a million years I'd be up here as a pastor. God had a different idea for me. I've had two careers previous to this, and God's like, you know, I don't think you need to be doing that anymore, but you have great experience. I want you to be over here. But you know, like Moses, I gave him a million excuses before I told him that I would follow what he asked me to do. I know a lot of us do that, right? If we hear God's voice, we're like, oh, no, not me. I'm going over here, God. I'm more suited to doing this kind of work. But you know, he's just kind of patiently waiting. And he kind of wears you down after a while. And then you're like, this isn't going so well over here. You know, I'm doing these things. Note the word I am doing this stuff. And all of a sudden, God's like, how's it going? You're like, well, you know, it's really hard. Things aren't going so well. God's like, well, if you'd asked, if you've done what I told you to do over here, you might be blessed a little bit more abundantly, and things might go really well for you. Things aren't going to be easy, but you're always going to have me. You're always going to have that love. You're going to always have that grace and forgiveness. So on our abundant life, we're self-sacrificing, but we have freedom. And we trust that God's going to get us where we need to go. So God shows us, especially in the Bible, he shows us our love, our justice, mercy, faithfulness, and generosity. If we live through those points in our life, and we give him the glory for it, you can still have the good job. You can still have some, not necessarily security, but you have faith instead of security that God's going to give you what you need when you need it. But we as humans have that hard time of letting go of that security because, you know, we really want to be felt safe, comfortable in our own little boxes. But if you let go of that security and say, okay, God, I love you and I'm going to do what you ask me to do, you live the abundant life. And you know, the funny thing is, you cannot live the good life and the abundant life at the same time. Because living the good life means that we are in charge of our lives. While living an abundant life, God is in charge. God is directing us where we need to go, and God is providing us with what we need in life. So, is it hard to switch from the good life to the abundant life? You bet. Do we bounce back and forth between the two? I would say all the time. But the good news is God's there waiting. He'll let you figure it out. And, you know, when you hit that hard spot and you're like, man, I can't do this on my own, God's waiting there on the side waiting for you to be like, oh, hey, God, can you help me? I can't do this on my own. And he is always there waiting. In fact, he would much rather have you invite him in to join you even on the good days than watch us struggle. Even in the hard times, God's like, why are you not asking? I'm right here. He's always there waiting. So my final thought for today is, we were created to be in a flock or a community together. God created us that way. We have a church community. We have a community outside these doors. God created us to be in relationship with other people. He did not create us to be loners out on, even though people are introverts. I know many of you probably are. That doesn't mean that you get to be by yourself and not interact with other people. You still need community to give you that guidance and comfort of being with other people. And with that also, that community helps us listen for the voice of the one true shepherd who has asked us to listen for his voice always. Drown out the busyness. Spend time with God. Listen for that voice of the shepherd to come to you. Might not be in words. Maybe it's an emotional feeling. Maybe it's a friend that stopped by to share something with you. Listen for that voice, whether you're reading scripture or just spending some quiet time outside with God. Listen for that voice to come amongst you and listen for that shepherd to lead you. And lastly, when you're listening to the shepherd's voice, follow him. He is not going to lead you astray. He has promised to be there always. He's watching for those pitfalls, for those crevices that we might stumble into. He's warned us many times over in the Bible about the ways of the world. Listen to him. He's given us the book to guide us through. He's given us the Bible to guide us through those things. Spend time reading it, even if it's just one verse once a week. Spend time reading the book that God provided us to guide us in those troubling times, to bring us closer to him so that we can follow Jesus. And you know, when we do all those things, we end up living the abundant life that God has blessed us with. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to have you as our one true shepherd. Lord, we ask that you help us this day listen for your voice. We ask us that you would help us follow you so that we may live the abundant life with you and bless you and share your word amongst the other followers and other sheep out there who have not heard your word, Lord. We ask that you guide us every day, walk beside us, and be with us as we travel this journey, not alone, but with you, Lord, right by our side. In your name we pray. Amen.